Today on the program, we welcome two representatives from Maria Dress Counseling Services here in Quincy. One you know, one you may not. The Executive Director Mike Shanahan is back, and a member of the board, Karen Donnellan, is here with a very special personal story to share with you about something that's impacted her personally and her family, but also something that she's hoping to call attention to the broader audience, and that is mental health, particularly men's mental health. So, Mike, great to see you again. Karen, nice to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you again.
Oh, you're very welcome. Mike, it's been a little while since you and I caught up, so I always like to start just a very quick refresher about what Maria Drost is here in Quincy.
Thank you. Yes, sure. We're in our 34th year now.
Wow.
Started by the Sisters of the Good Shepherd back in 1992. We're in the same building we were in, right in Quincy Center, the Tudor style building, which is getting a new roof right now.
Ah,
yeah, which is good.
Yes.
Our mission is to make mental health accessible and affordable. And we've been doing that, you know, for 33 years, and we're still doing it and busier than ever. And we have about 25 therapists, including myself, carrying on the mission of the sisters. And one active sister who's still with us, Sister Elish, she does Reiki, so we have holistic services as well as outpatient mental health, 50-minute sessions. We do relational counseling, individual counseling, depression, anxiety, ADHD. We see kids, we see adults, and in even the elderly, so all ages. And we don't turn anybody away unless they need a different level of care, like inpatient or something. But if we can take them in, we will keep them, and cost is not a barrier to them. So, and
right,
we do that for all our clients.
That is the mission, right? To make it accessible and affordable.
Yes.
To all. What would you say is the percentage of clients that gets some type of reduced to fare?
It's almost 90%.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Some require just a little bit here and there. Some come in paying. They have insurance, and they can make their co-pays and so forth. And then maybe they lose their job.
Yeah.
And at other places, they might have to not have therapy anymore. But we can say, hey, we'll cover you while you're looking for work. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you don't have insurance for a time. We can lower the fee, make it what they can afford, and then maybe they get their new job and have insurance again, you know, so we can see them through troubled times, as well as those who we've had homeless people, we've had people that even though it's mandated state coverage, are between insurances or just moved here or lost their job. We have a relationship with the Quincy courts where people are in jail or prison, they can lose health benefits while they're there, and they don't get them back right away when they come out. So we've seen people that, you know, can't afford much at all as they're getting back on their feet. So there's all types of situations that we cover in our work. And it's very rewarding. Our staff is filled with compassionate people who, you know, I always say we live compassion so that we can carry out our mission as the sisters did, really reaching out to people where they're at and understanding them. And that's the beautiful part of working there, and I think everybody feels that who works there, that we're living well and doing good work and doing it in a professional way. We're all licensed or on our way to getting licensed in the state, and there's supervision and training that we do for interns. We have a new intern coming this fall and one continuing on from last year, so we'll have two interns again this year. And more than half of our current staff are interns who've been part of our program, who've stayed on because they were treated well and they believe in the mission. So it's a great organization. I'm in my 13th year there. And
has it been that long? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And I was on your show year one when I
remember.
I came in.
So. Sure, yeah.
But yeah, it's going well, and I feel privileged to work there. So
yeah.
I love it. I don't want to go anywhere unless the board, you know, says, okay.
Well, as I mentioned, Karen is a member of the board. How did you first get involved with Maria Dress?
Oh, geez, so long ago. It was probably about 98.
Oh, really?
Sister Joanne Westmore.
Oh.
Yeah, they always say when she touches you, you can never say no.
It was absolutely true.
Yes.
I had many a hug from Sister Joanne Westwater, and it really went into your soul.
It really did.
But
she was
dedicated to the mission.
She was lovely. And Sister Lorraine. And,
yes.
The whole Good Shepherd family. Yeah, so it started back then.
Okay.
Fundraising, then the board was established at some point around mid-2000s. And so I've been with Maria Dross for for all that time.
Wow. Yeah.
Marriage, children, mm-hmm. or, you know, you name it, I've been there with you.
All the life stages, huh?
Yeah.
What was it that drew you to the mission, Karen?
Well, you know, I grew up in Dorchester. When I came to Quincy back in 93, very different community mm-hmm. Overall. And so I joined the Marriage Commission Status of Women a long time ago. So at that point, I just wanted to give back. I started doing fundraising with my old high school, which was Monsignor Ryan. And that's when I met Sister Joanne. She was an MRM girl, too.
Oh,
and
okay.
Yeah. So, and then she, like I said, she touches you, and she brought you in. And I've been doing volunteer supporting networks. I volunteer Father Bills now. So whatever I can do to support the community, it's just, I tell people all the time, you don't have to go big. Just go small and stay within your community. And it's all about helping others.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so when you were impacted by a tragedy, the suicide of your brother, it was a no-brainer to determine how to give back, right?
Yes, absolutely. And Maria Joss has really helped my family in all different ways, especially with Robert's family and my family as a whole. So Robert was one of those, I'll call him a Dorchester boy, really funny. But he had this network of friends that were knee-deep, probably 15 to 20, and they were just a great core group of gentlemen and women who supported each other, helped each other. And for Robert, being in HVAC, he was general manager, and he kept his, he had his job for over 20-something years, but, you know, he struggled over the years, and for him, helping others was key for his sobriety, for his support mechanism. So I think on that level, you know, what I'm trying to achieve is just get it out there, and it's okay to talk. And when I approached his family, they said, we really want you to focus on men, because they've already met a couple of families who have already gone through the same thing.
Is that right?
And it's usually, and you probably have the stats, but for men in general, you're looking at late teens, 20s, and then they get established, and then all of a sudden, you meet so many families who have been impacted by gentlemen who are in their 50s and 60s, something triggers them and they feel like they can't talk it out or whatnot. So for Robert, you know, he tried so hard, and even on his last day, he's like, you know, I really need help. I really need to talk to somebody, as he was going to work. That's how tragic this all is.
Yeah.
To know that, you know, how close we are with Maria Joss, saying, let me know if you need help. I can get you in tomorrow. Things like that. But I think it's a stigma of talking about your feelings. And I think that was the hardship in all of this, knowing that we were there to try to support. But, you know, he tried everything that he could. And, you know, he's at peace with himself, and we're at peace at this point. It was tragic at the beginning. It was only 2 years.
Oh, so it's been 2 years now.
Yes, 2 years,
Do you have other siblings?
Yeah, there's five of us in general.
Okay.
And mental health, Mike knows my story, is my mother, when we were growing up, Irish immigrants, she struggled quite a bit. So for the first maybe 20-something years of our lives, you know, we knew all about mental health, and St. Elizabeth's was a big support. They had a psychiatric hospital over there. But my mother, she's a true testament of what you can do by holding and finding the right medication. She started getting her life back. She was a babysitter. She was cleaner. She was so happy at the end. So she was happy with us, and she was happy with life. And I do see her as a testament that you can do this with a good support mechanism. And she always, you know, just at the end, she knew exactly what she wanted. And I think, you know, I'm proud of where she ended up, you know. And she came to Quincy. She was here the last 20 years of her life. So big support.
That sounds like a lot of that stamina has rubbed off on you.
Yeah.
Because you have decided, Karen, to walk 400 miles from Lisbon, Portugal, Santiago, Spain.
Yes.
For really two reasons, right?
Right.
One, to raise money for Maria Drost. But
correct.
Two, to call attention to what you say is the stigma of mental health, particularly when it comes to men.
Yes. You know, so funny enough, my husband, who's from England, he did the Camino almost 30 plus years ago.
So what's it called?
It's the Camino de Santiago.
Okay.
Postella. So it's been around for hundreds of years,
yeah,
St. James Way. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, if for those who are Catholic, fully understand that he did this walk to, from his standpoint, he did this walk to showcase. But it could start in France, it could start in Portugal, it can start in Spain.
Oh.
So there's multiple routes that you can take today's world.
I see.
For my husband, he did a 1,000-mile bike ride.
Wow.
He wasn't even Catholic at this point. But for him, he found it fascinating because back then, there was no albergues or hostels. He stayed in people's homes. They opened up and they fed him, and then he moved along his way.
Wow, what an experience. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He's amazing on that level. So for me, I've always had in the back of my mind, and most people will be aware of Martin Sheen's movie, you know, The Way Back. And then... about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, I was reading Andrew McCarthy's book, Walking with Sam. So he is an 80s icon who walked with his son, and he did the same route.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 or 4 years ago, I said to my husband, I'd really like to do that.
Really?
So with Robert's passing, I decided to retire at the end of last year.
Okay.
From Shields after 30 years. And
Shields Healthcare?
Yeah,
oh,
Shields, MRI,
okay.
Yep. So 29 years with those folks.
Wow.
Yeah, still. And to dedicate myself to figuring out what to do next. So I really put myself into volunteering at Father Bill's. I work with the folks over there and then start training for the Camino, which will take me about 6 weeks.
I was just going to ask how long it would take.
Yeah,
okay.
It's 400 miles,
yeah.
385. But I want to take my time. Enjoy what I have going on. It's I always say it's me, myself, and I doing this walk. And then as we go along, I'll figure it out and how to do it. Read enough books and followed enough. Yeah, and I think if you just breathe and take your time and discover what they can offer along the route.
Yeah.
So they're called albergues. You can go to a municipal, which you line up during the day and get a bed in a dormitory style. Atmosphere, you can do a private one, you can do hotels, you can do whatever you want. So for 6 weeks I plan on only taking about 14 pounds of backpack and carry it along the way and meet folks and talk about why people are doing what they're doing.
For all different reasons.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't meet a lot of people who are doing it for what I'm doing it.
Suicide awareness.
Yeah. So I think it's important to talk about, you know, Robert as a whole, because he was like both of you. He's just, you know, he was amazing. He was always out there. He, in his last year, he did about 5 trips, you know, with his wife, and, you know, his kids were off to college, and he was really enjoying himself. So from his standpoint, I think he really enjoyed the last year. So I just want to bring awareness that, you know, it's okay to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the whole point. It's about talking, right?
Yeah. Is that right, Mike? Is there still a stigma associated with speaking about mental health, particularly when it comes to men?
Yes.
There is.
Yeah, we
really
say it's lifting, but lifting is like there's still things to lift.
It's
still
so just an inch off the ground.
Yeah,
it needs to be 10 feet, right?
There's more to go, but it is about being vulnerable. And men, you know, we were taught not to be vulnerable. You don't cry, you tough it out,
you know,
that stuff.
Yeah.
And it affects all of us differently. And many men have trauma from their childhood of, you know, being sensitive men, having feelings, and having that beat out of you or bullied out of you in different ways. So, yeah, we see all kinds of things in therapy. We're helping men to release those kind of stigmas, which frees them up to own their feelings and celebrate who they are.
Right, yeah.
We all have male and female in us, you know, and our psyche is both male and female. And in accepting who we are in a whole 360-degree spectrum is where it's at. That's the key to mental health. You want to be balanced in your perceptions of who you are and what's possible for you. So it's when we live in a narrow part of ourselves where we're blocking things and pushing things away, that's what can rise up and you can feel totally isolated. And I think suicide happens when a person feels like I'm a burden and I'm all alone. And even though I have family, the burden is just too great. And so the cure really is, and I think suicide can be cured. You know, I think it's living in a compassionate way where, you know, where we're all who we are and loving one another. Mm. I mean, it's a ways off.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen overnight.
Right.
But, you know, just to do the work that we're doing in a compassionate way,
so
I think makes a difference.
Us men are our own worst enemies, it sounds like, in some regards, when it comes to mental health, at least.
Yeah, I mean, it can be. It's hard to talk about because you're talking about a very deep thing inside of a person,
right.
You know, and every person has their own journey. And so, you know, the pain is when somebody dies by suicide, is that everyone rushes in, what could I have done?
Mm-hmm.
Like we want to be
the
there
guilty
for
guilty feelings, right?
Yeah.
So it impacts everyone.
It impacts everybody,
yeah.
Right. And the family especially. And
sure.
So, you know, to go on this walk, I think, is just such a beautiful testament of your love for him. And
thank you.
And, you know, those that love you will be with you on that walk. Like, we'll all be with you in spirit. And, that's where it's at.
Yeah, so Karen, I'm picturing like a marathon. Is it a whole group of people that are doing this at the same time?
It's year round.
So you get
to pick when you want to go, how you want to go.
Okay.
I found with a lot of the reading, I start in Lisbon, and there's less walkers from Lisbon to Porto. Portugal. From Porto to Santiago is busy.
I see.
Very busy. And I think a lot of people tend to just do the 185 miles from Porto versus the 385 that I'm doing.
Okay.
And being retired, it's important that I just take the time to do it. A lot of people don't have that luxury.
Yeah.
And then at first when I started to do this, it was really hard for me. I was like, why am I doing this? Everybody, are you doing it for spiritual reasons? And I'm very comfortable with myself. I've, as you said, growing up in this world where you have to take care of yourself, you take care of your family. Still, my father still lives with us. And so you can see that piece of me and teaching my children to take care of others, both one's in college, one's out of college, and finding their own niche.
Mm-hmm.
So to do this walk, I came up with it about 5 months ago and thought, okay, is the family okay with me doing that? Because it will talk about suicide and whatnot. And that's, people, you know, we talk about Robert, we don't talk about the act, what brought us all together and to comfort each other, you know, as we go along. You know, I love watching his family. They think of him daily, but they've, you know, his daughter just got engaged this past weekend.
Uh-huh.
And just seeing the love and what he brought to them is really important.
Yeah.
And you can see it in their faces. And, you know, it's the legacy that's continuing on, but it's supporting individuals. I think I've always been doing this since I was a young age. So, you know, we all have our paths that we walk. And, you know, Sister Joanne made me walk down this path.
Yeah.
And I'm still doing it today. So it's
really
important.
What do you think Robert would say, Karen, if he knew you were doing this?
He would be so proud.
Yeah.
He really would be. And he always said, I wish I could. I wish I did this. I wish I did that.
Yeah.
So he'll be coming along for the walk with me. And
and
I hope at the end we'll celebrate together and we'll celebrate as a family. I think that's key, is keeping everybody and letting everybody know you can do whatever you want.
Mm.
I'm really scared. Don't get me wrong. I'm anxious.
Have you ever been to Europe?
Oh, yeah. And I think, Robert, you know, my whole life has always been traveling. And that's how I met my husband. You know, I traveled the world.
Yes.
And my job as a radiation therapy took me all over the United States.
I see.
And
okay.
Traveled for 4 years. And that's when, you know, people look at you, how do you do it? And I go, I just take my credit card out and I pay them. And I worry about it later. Nowadays, it's different, you know.
Right.
It's, you know, I just want to... You have to take care of yourself before you can take care of somebody else.
Right.
That's the key.
Yeah.
And I do think that by taking the last 8 months and just stepping back from work and society, and I get the luxury of doing this.
Yes.
Not everybody gets to do this.
Yes, yeah.
That's the key. So doing this walk, it's one step at a time. I need to get through the first 5 days carrying that, you know, my backpack and about 15 miles
a day. So it's physically grueling too.
Yeah. So I just hope I can manage it and make it to the end. And, you know, 6 weeks has given me plenty of time.
So what do you kind of hope to achieve after this event, Karen, both personally and professionally, too?
Well, you know, I really want to get, you know, look at my faith and determine what the next step is there. I think today's world, don't look at, you know, we have our own stigma. It doesn't matter what religion you have. Mm-hmm. So I really like to see what brings forth on that, because, mm-hmm. you know, 6 weeks by yourself and with a group that you don't know, and, you know, meet these folks along the way and hopefully have friendships afterwards.
Okay.
You know, when I went to Europe back in the late 80s, I still have friends from those days. Mm-hmm. You stay connected, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. And then come back and let my kids know it's okay, you can do this. Mm-hmm. You know, take time. I think the Europeans know how to do it right. They take time off and they
3 month vacations or
come back and still have the same job. Yeah, you know, yeah. We always worry that if we go away for 2 weeks, what's going to happen next? So, you know, having the luxury of doing this, and then
right.
my last week I'll be in Ireland. I go to Ireland every year, so
very good.
Visit folks and take my time and hopefully regenerate before I get back to the States.
Right.
And determine what's next.
Is this? Do you think this is still part of the healing, grieving process? I mean, it's only been 2 years.
You know, I never thought of it that way, but it certainly is.
Yeah.
I think all of us are doing different things to help heal ourselves, for sure. So I really do think that, you know, he was only 14 months ahead of me. In life, and so we all have this connection, different connections, mm-hmm. whether you're a wife or a daughter or a sibling or an adult, you know, it's really important to keep that person alive and well, and you know, I met so many people along the way who've lost their brothers or husbands or even sons, and you know, it affects them even 10, 15 years later.
Sure.
Still, the memory's still there. It's a different feeling. Yeah.
Do you have a fundraising goal in mind for your walk?
Yeah, so the fundraising goal is $25,000.
Oh, okay.
I would love to initiate that and really get out there and publicly support, you know, that men and women mm-hmm. can call Maria Dross mm-hmm. and just say, I would love to talk to somebody. And talking is key. And then establishing a way to find, you know, what do I need? Do I need to travel down a medication route? Do I need to look at different ways to help nurture my thoughts? And, you know, Robert always said that you know, what's the feeling? What are you feeling? He goes, there's always a dark cloud.
Hmm.
You wake up and there's a dark cloud. And it's funny, I always wake up and there's beautiful sunshine and white clouds. So, you know, I know along the way there'll be moments that I'm going to kick myself for doing this.
Really?
Yeah. But, you know, I'll just continue on and know that I'm doing it for a good cause and for myself and for my husband and for my kids.
Yeah. Mike, will the funds raised from Karen's fundraiser go to any place in particular at Maria Dross?
Well, everything goes to support the, you know, the lowering of the fee. We charge $150 for a 50-minute session of therapy, and often that fee is reduced for everybody, so that's the amount we have to make up. So whatever Karen is raising mm-hmm. and graciously giving to Maria Dross will be put right towards making up that deficit.
Okay.
And our biggest, you know, we don't have a lot of overhead. It's just the offices that we occupy and paying salaries.
Right.
So
right.
It goes right to just paying the therapists and, you know, keeping our doors open.
Certainly. Yeah.
And we're very grateful to Karen. Very humbled.
Thank you.
And I would think, you know, if your efforts even help one person reach out and ask for help, then you've succeeded.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's important that people can understand that they can call and chat and figuring out what they can do. It's important to have that. We're so lucky to have Maria Dross. Not a lot of communities have organizations like this. And knowing that the Good Shepherds established this so long ago, and it's still thriving, and I think that's key, is to know that it just wasn't 5 years ago, it was 34 years ago.
Yeah. When will you be doing your journey, Karen?
So I start the journey on the 25th of September.
Oh, soon. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I leave less than 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I will end October 31st, so Halloween back in Lisbon,
okay.
Flying back to Ireland for a week, and then, back to the States on the 9th of November.
Very good.
Yes.
And how will you kind of document your journey or stay in touch, you know, with folks back here?
Yeah, so they have these apps.
Oh, okay.
It's called Find Penguin.
okay.
Yep, and so anybody can follow. I made it public, so if people want to follow. Oh. And I'll put my journey on that on a daily basis and take beautiful photos along the way.
Sure.
From Lisbon is Santiago. It's intercoastal, so we go through a lot of forestry. By the time we get to Porto down to Santiago, you know, there's a coastal route to do. And growing up in Quincy, of course, I really could use the ocean at that point.
Sure.
Keep me going the last 2 weeks. So it'll be beautiful. Ending in Santiago, where they have, you know, almost 6 daily masses.
Huh.
Two in English, I looked up, in you know, French and Spanish and Portuguese. So I really do hope that my last day there is spending and enjoying the cathedral that's there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a beautiful city.
Will you be carrying anything personal of Robert's with you?
No.
Okay.
No. Robert is always going to be up there. You know, it's going to be rainy days and cloudy days and... that's how I think of him overall. It's beautiful to be outside, and then he'll pop in my head in a blink of an eye.
Sure.
So, yeah.
To make a donation, givebutter.com/Karen's Camino or text the word happy to 53555.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, thank you so much. We do appreciate this.
Oh, we're happy to help you get the word out. Anything else you'd like to share, right?
No, for those who are thinking about doing the Camino, it's more of a mental challenge, you know, physically, certainly, but it's really about wrapping yourself around the fact that you're going to do this walk. You know, I look at my husband, who has done an Ironman recently and is doing a marathon next month.
Wow.
And you can't compete with those folks.
Right.
So, you know, walking is the next step towards, you know, physical well-being. And spiritual,
sure,
for sure,
sure.
Yeah.
Mike, anything else?
No, I'm just honored to be with you, and I just love how you're honoring your brother and just you know, bringing it forward, talking about suicide and not being afraid, and that's exactly what's needed. And you know, I just feel your love for him and your family, and everybody is supporting you. I mean, we'll, like I said, we'll all be with you in spirit, and I know he will too. Like you, you obviously are carrying him in your heart, and he'll be there with you every step of the way.
Yes.
So it's a beautiful thing you're doing.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Please let us know how it goes.
Yes, I will, definitely.
And see how many pairs of shoes you go through.
Two.
Two pairs, okay.
You got to remember, you can only take 14 pounds.
There you go. You might have to buy some over there. You never know.
Really.
Yes. No, seriously, good luck.
Thank you.
I hope it's successful in many ways for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And thanks for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano, and we'll see you next time.